Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. Make sure you leave us a five-star review on iTunes. You can email us with basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, we're thankful for a lot of things about the Bulls. We're going to talk about that today.
We're really thankful here, taping this 2 days before Thanksgiving on a Tuesday afternoon. So we'll be discussing the fact that we're thankful for Dwayne Wade being a Chicago Bull, making them relevant again, bringing a level of professionalism. We're not going to touch too much on the Bulls-Nuggets game, because by the time most of you listen to this, that game will be over and we're taping it beforehand. But we wanted to take a little bit of a big picture look, and I think the number one thing Bulls fans are thankful for now is Dwayne Wade being a Bull and kind of the osmosis effect it's had on Jimmy Butler being really good at basketball and improving as well, and everyone being happy in the locker room. Is it not, Sean?
Yeah, it's just been totally transformative just having Dwayne Wade around. You know, never mind, you know, he's past his prime a little bit. He's not the player he was 5 years ago. He's still a pretty good player. But just having him around has just completely changed the dynamic of this team. It's changed the tenor of the locker room. Just having this, he's basically the adult in the room. And that's something the Bulls haven't really had the last few years.
Yeah, and you know, he's handled everything so well from the day Dwayne Wade walked in. And I think you've mentioned this before, but like it kind of became real at that introductory press conference, which was 3 weeks after he actually verbally agreed and kind of signed with the Bulls. It still didn't seem real until you saw him there. But from that day in late July, when he got introduced as a Bull, and he said, "This is Jimmy Butler's team." And he said that before, I believe, at the press conference, before anyone even asked him that question. Like, he might have done it on his own accord the first time he kind of hinted or questioned or hinted at that. Like, Dwayne Wade came out and said it and immediately hit the right note. And I don't think this possibly could have gone any better to date for the Bulls, everything, because here we are. And I mean, I was one of them. I think you were one of them, Sean. Many people were saying, you know, the front office gave Fred Hoiberg parts that didn't necessarily fit together as a basketball unit, and also for Fred's vision. And here we are, you know, what, a fifth of the way through the season or so, just shy of that. And the Bulls are 9-5. They are a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense, which is interesting because that's
something. Are they a top 10 defense again? Because they were number 12 when I looked yesterday.
I believe they were number 9 last time I looked this morning. Okay. I looked on Basketball Reference stats, but you get the picture, though. They're around there, that number 10 mark in defensive efficiency. I know NBA.com and Basketball Reference kind of have that a little different.
Yeah, see, I've been looking at NBA.com. That's why they weren't in the top 10.
Okay, but yeah, you get the drift there. And, I mean, they're a consistent team on both sides of the floor now, and we're going to get into what is real and what's still a question mark for them. But they've been good, solid defensively, and they've scored points, even though they're not playing really fast. And just from that day that Dwayne Wade kind of went out and said that, I think it set a tone. It made Jimmy Butler feel at ease, and Jimmy has really, really matured by way of when he needs to be aggressive, what he needs to do for this team. You saw it the other night when Dwayne Wade sat out on the second end of a back-to-back. Jimmy, as you reported, John, said he was going to go for 40. He went out there and went for 40 and was just spectacular. So I just think the front office deserves credit in this. Dwayne Wade deserves credit. Fred Hoiberg deserves credit. And there's really a lot to be thankful for Bulls basketball early in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say I'm thankful that this is not a train wreck yet. Like, it may still be like this whole, I mean, this first month of the season has gone about as well as it could have. It still might fall apart at some point, but I'm thankful that we're not already at the point where it's just like, oh God, we have to cover this for another year, and then like we've got 6 more months of this, it's going to be miserable. I'm glad we're kind of still at the point where the bloom is on the rose, where, you know, everybody's enjoying themselves. It things are still on the upswing. I'm thankful for that more than anything right now.
Yeah, we'll get the way you said that. It makes me think that you have a lot of questions about the Bulls still, and we'll get to that shortly. Also, I think we should point out that Bulls fans should be thankful for Taj Gibson's continued level of play, hard work, and just the team guy he is. He's in a contract year, and we've touched on this quite a bit. But, I mean, there was a game early in the year where Taj said to Fred Hoiberg, "Don't put me back in the game. Nico's playing well here in the fourth quarter, and him playing in this fourth quarter is best for us tonight to win, and it's best for Nico's confidence and the Bulls as a team in the long run to get him that experience and get him that confidence back." And, you know, he's played brilliant basketball, won that starting job at a training camp for the four against Nico, just shy of 12 points a game, just shy of 8 rebounds a game. And he's really, I mean, Tosh has brought a toughness to the Bulls this year that wasn't there in years past. And I'm not saying Tosh didn't play tough basketball, but I think when he's been paired with Robin Lopez, that has more of a cumulative effect on the team. And they've been really tough down there in the low post. They're the best offensive rebounding team in the NBA by a long ways. So they're a solid defensive rebounding team. Not spectacular, but getting the job done on that end. And it just adds up to a brand of basketball, which is funny because there's times where you look at these Bulls play, Sean, and you're like, these are kind of the things they did in the Tom Thibodeau era, and then they disappeared last year, and now they're back all of a sudden.
Right, and along the same lines, I think Bulls fans should definitely be thankful for Robin Lopez, who's been a really underrated pickup for them. He was somebody, obviously, when the trade happened, it was the whole focus was, oh, wow, they traded Derrick Rose. What does this mean for Jimmy Butler? What does this mean for everything else? Robin Lopez has been fantastic. He's been everything the Bulls could have hoped for him to be when they traded for him. He doesn't need the ball. He protects the rim. He rebounds. He just does his job. He plays solid defense. He's just been phenomenal for the Bulls at that starting center spot.
And they should really also be thankful for, as our friend Ricky O'Donnell on Twitter of SB Nation the other night pointed out, that they didn't trade Jimmy Butler in the offseason for Chris Dunn or anyone else that might have been thrown in trade rumors.
Right.
Because that was, while not imminent, that was a serious thought. And Jimmy Butler has blossomed into nothing less than an early season MVP candidate, not the leading candidate, but he's in the discussion and has been brilliant. And as short as what, 4 or 5 months ago, there was talk that he could be moved.
Right, absolutely. So I would say another major thing that the Bulls fans should be thankful for is that they can get the best deal on tickets online on SeatGeek.
Absolutely, Sean, because you know why? The NBA season has been back for a couple months now. And SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the game you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the game for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit. Courtside, club seats, or upper deck. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, anytime, and with just a few taps, you can instantly find tickets for this weekend's game or any game down the line this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade score based on its value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals to fit your personal budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is 100% backed by their guarantee. And best of all, listeners to Locked On Bulls get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. So here's what you need to do right now. Go download the SeatGeek app on your phone. Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code. Enter L-O Bulls, just how it sounds, L-O-B-U-L-L-S. Do that and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LOBULLS today. Sean.
So we should talk about the Jimmy Butler thing for a second.
Yeah.
We got a Twitter question about it.
Can he keep it up? The Twitter question. Who is it from? It was from Omar on Twitter. He said, is it too early to put Jimmy in the MVP convo? Personally, I believe he's better than Kawhi Leonard. What do you guys think? Let's just go to the big point. Can Jimmy keep this up? I don't think it's too early to put him in the convo, but what do you make of all this, Sean?
Well, I mean, he's absolutely in the MVP conversation, but the thing is, there's really no clear-cut front-runner in the conversation. I would actually, you know, I would dispute the idea that Jimmy Butler is better than Kawhi Leonard, but, you know, that's a completely different discussion. But I would say like the last couple of years it's been like, okay, Steph Curry is just destroying everybody. He's the MVP, or the year or a couple of years before that it's like, well, the Heat are just rolling. Look what LeBron is doing. LeBron is clearly the MVP, and everybody else is like cool to talk about as a front runner. There's no clear number one MVP candidate at this point. So there's just a lot of different guys you can put in there. James Harden has been great for the Rockets. Damian Lillard has been great for the
Chris
Blazers.
Paul,
Yeah, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, I think, both deserve consideration for the Clippers. The Clippers have been the hottest team in the league so far. Obviously, LeBron has had a typically great year. A couple of the Warriors guys, Steph and Durant, have both had good enough years that they're in the conversation. And yeah, I think with the Bulls' surprising start, and especially how he's been playing over the last couple of weeks and how he's kind of been lifting them with various injuries that they've had and inconsistent play from some of their other guys, I think Jimmy Butler is absolutely in the MVP conversation. Do I think the Bulls are going to end up winning enough games for him to actually have a chance at winning the award? I don't think so. But, when you're looking at who's been the best player in the league in the early going of the season, in the first month or so, I think you have to include Jimmy Butler in that discussion for sure.
Yeah, a few stats to kind of back this up. He's averaging 25.1 points per game, which is 10th in the NBA. That 25.1 points per game, if he remained on a track like that, which I'm sure it'll come down a little bit, is easily a career high for Jimmy Butler. He's third in ESPN's real plus minus stats, and without getting too nerdy here, that's basically a measurement of the effect he's having on the plus minus idea on the court, but its influence and factored in for his teammates being taken out of the equation. Because obviously, if you play with bad guys, that second unit, if you head them up for a long time, your plus minus isn't going to be as good. But the point is, he's been brilliant in affecting a game as one of the top 5 or 10 players in the NBA right now, is the way he's doing it. He's getting to the free throw line 9.5 times per game, seventh in the league. He's shooting nearly 89%. So, like, he's getting the job done. He's averaging almost 7 rebounds. And we know Jimmy last year talked a lot about he didn't think he set the defensive tone enough. And I think he has played pretty darn good defense this year on a consistent basis. So this transformation isn't just Jimmy averaging more points per game in a more efficient manner. Like, it's Jimmy doing different things in various aspects of the game, offensively, defensively, and setting the tone. Which is really, that's how you get in the MVP conversation. It's not just scoring points, it's making a difference in a lot of ways.
And the other thing we probably have to talk about, considering the concerns that we had going into the season about the lack of shooting and the lack of spacing, he's shooting 41.7% from three-point range, easily a career high. He was at 31% last year, 37.8% the year before when he kind of had his breakout year and won Most Improved Player. So he's having his best shooting performance from beyond the arc, and that's on 3.4 attempts per game, which is his most attempts in that stretch. He attempted 3.6 in 13-14, the year that Derrick Rose missed with the meniscus. But since Jimmy kind of has emerged as, the star that he is right now, he's taking his most threes and he's making the most of them.
Yeah. And I mean, this what he's done for the Bulls is nothing short of transformative for him. I do think that Jimmy can keep up a really high level of play all season long. I don't expect him, no one expects him to go for 47 and 6 every night, but
No.
I think he can continue to play really well at a top 10, top 12 player in the NBA level, perhaps. I think the Bulls rebounding is for real right now. I mean, they got tough guys, and in general, Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler in the backcourt are good rebounders too for their positions. And I think they can keep getting to the free throw line a whole lot because I think Jimmy Butler knows what he's doing. He's really strong, really smart, and is making a point to be aggressive. Dwayne Wade's being aggressive. When you get a lot of offensive rebounds as a team, too, you're just more inclined to probably get fouled because you're getting those rebounds by the rim in a physical setting, and your mindsets a lot of times go back up. So I think those are really good signs for the Bulls. Now, Sean, tell me what, that's my opinion. What do you think? Do you think the Bulls can keep those things up? And what can they maybe not keep up? Or what are the concerns still here moving forward?
I just think, I mean, so I don't, it's what's weird is I don't have a specific thing I'm concerned about them not keeping up. I'm just like, maybe I'm just like unwilling to admit that we were wrong about the like this early on in the season, but I just did not expect them to be this good. And I don't know. I feel like there's another shoe to drop at some point. Here's the other thing. The bench is not great. Like they've been winning a lot of games. Jimmy Butler, the starters have all been great, but like, if you look at their bench, Isaiah Cannon has had some good games off the bench, but like, We still don't know about how Nikola Mirotic is going to do. He's had a good last couple of games, but he hasn't been consistent. Once Doug McDermott gets back, he had been inconsistent before he had the concussion. And then beyond that, like Bobby Portis has been playing a lot in the fourth quarter. He hasn't really been impressing a lot. There's nobody on this bench that you can look at and say, okay, you know, if Jimmy Butler goes down or if Dwayne Wade goes down for an extended period of time, this guy can just step in and handle it.
Yeah, I think the defensive concerns would be what I would still question for the Bulls. Again, we pointed out they've been a top 9, top 12 defense here, efficiency-wise, early in the season. Big reason, again, because they have done their job rebounding well, and they're also not fouling. Like, they're not letting the other team get to the free throw line whatsoever, like 5 fewer attempts per game than the NBA average, which
Yeah,
is
I wrote,
just a
I, by the way,
ton.
just a plug, time for a plug, I wrote a big thing about that on The Athletic this morning that you should go check out.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. 5 points a game in the NBA is a massive, massive difference. And I think that's kind of ingrained in them too, to not foul. I do think there's something inherent about that. I don't think that's completely random here in the first 14 games. So I think they'll keep the idea of that up, kind of moving forward in practice as well as in theory there. So I think that's good. But I do still think, like you pointed out, that second unit is a weakness, and I think their defense is really the weakness. I know I've been a little critical here of Hoiberg's lineups that he's used to start the second and fourth quarters at times when he had Dwayne Wade out there with Cannon, Portis, Mirotic, and then McDermott before the concussion. There was just a lot of questions defensively on those, and there were several stretches that really hurt the Bulls. And at the same time, I understand his hands are a little bit tied because if you kind of reconfigure the lineup so you have Taj in there or something, you're pulling away from your strength in the first quarter. Completely understand that. And you really like what that first unit's been giving you. So I get that, but I think over the long haul, that could continue to bite them some. And in general, I think they might have played just a little bit above their heads defensively because that's maybe one of our biggest concerns heading into the season. So I see that maybe kind of falling back a bit, which would be concerning. That second unit, it's hit or miss sometimes, and I just don't know how much they're going to get in the long haul. I think a lot of that revolves around Michael Carter-Williams. I liked what he brought in those 3 games before he was injured. I know that's a tiny sample size, but I liked how aggressive he was defensively and setting the tone at the point guard position for the Bulls and being tough there. So I think some of that will hinge on what he can bring them. If not, the second unit's still a problem. And I still don't know. I think, you know, sitting Dwayne Wade out the second night of the back-to-back was the smart thing to do the other night. And I think they should make that more of a habit, maybe not every time, but at the same time, when I say they should do that, like, that's tough. You're kind of costing yourself on, what, 12, 13 more occasions if you sit him out. And again, maybe not every time, but 8 or 10 times sitting him out. Like, that's a big load for Jimmy Butler to carry every night. So I think those are maybe some of the concerns to have moving forward.
Right. And on the note of Dwayne Wade sitting on the back-to-back, I think a big part of that was in the loss to the Clippers the night before. He played 35 minutes, which is the most minutes he'd played all season. So he's gonna, you know, on nights like that, like if it's a back-to-back and the first night, like there's a blowout and he only plays 29 minutes, then, you know, he's probably fine to play the next night. But in a back-to-back where he played a lot the night before and did a lot and had to do a lot, you know, it's gonna be a little bit more likely that he has to sit out, which is honestly, in the long term, it's fine. But, you know, you're gonna have to see, like, what we saw with the Lakers game the other night, where they needed a 40-point game from Jimmy Butler to really put away this Lakers team that's not a playoff team.
Yeah, and you know, I'll be interested too to see. I mean, the Lakers come back, and I think that might be the Bulls' first game
Yeah, it
home
is.
After that road trip, because that wasn't a great defensive effort by the Bulls the other night. And I say that, and at the same time, they were spectacular defensively against the Trailblazers and the Jazz. And I mean, they held their own against a really good Clippers team that's one of the highest scoring offenses in the NBA there. So I don't know what to make of it yet. I know we said we'd learn a lot from this road trip, and I think we have. And I think Jimmy Butler's going to continue to be good. Like I said, the rebounding, getting the free throw line, there's some really good signs for this Bulls team moving forward. I do want to see how they play against the Nuggets here and finish off the road trip Friday against the 76ers, who continue to be a fun watch with Joel Embiid out there. I had like 22 points the other night, I think, for them. So if the Bulls can string this together, you know, another week or two, I mean, I'll believe more in their defense. And if they can continue to play defense at a good level, I think you're looking at, I mean, Well, my prediction before the season was 40-42. There's no doubt I would say it's higher than that. I'm not going to sit here and switch and give you a new number of wins every time they win a game. But I do think, obviously, that they're better than that now.
I think it's pretty solid. I think because when we did our predictions, we were kind of going back and forth on whether they were going to make the playoffs. I think as long as Jimmy Butler and all the key guys stay healthy, I think they're pretty solidly a playoff team.
Yeah, I would say it's fair to say that now too. I'm trying to remember. Did I say or you said one of us was acting like everything goes right? Did we say maybe 50 wins was in the realm or like 49 or 50?
If one of us said that, I think it was you because I definitely did not say that.
Okay, I said like maybe I'd have to go back and check. Maybe I said maybe it was more like 48 or something. But that was like I think the upper end, upper echelon.
That
and
doesn't
like,
seem
the,
crazy now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, their point differential's been really strong, which is always a good sign. And I know last year their point differential, even though they got up to a good start, wasn't nearly what it's been this year. So they are winning in a different way. And I should say another thing to question or not before we get out of here on this podcast is there's still the Rajon Rondo factor, and he's played better these last couple games after coming off the ankle injury and missing a couple, and the Bulls played well in those. Kind of making you think how much they need him. I think they certainly still need him, but I just don't know the level of consistency that he's going to bring, and there's going to be nights against smart, good, disciplined teams where defensively those teams give the Bulls a lot of problems because they make Rondo try to beat them, and he doesn't want to shoot jump shots. So I don't know how much that's going to factor in. So far, Fred Hoiberg's been doing a very good job of mitigating that and letting everyone else shine offensively and Rondo be the distributor when it has worked.
Right, and I also, even as far as the point guard thing is concerned, we touched a little bit on MCW. We don't know when he's going to be back. The 4-week end of the 4 to 6 week timeline would be right basically at the end of the circus trip when they come back for that homestand. And for what it's worth, you know, Fred hasn't really given us any definitive updates on him, but he has been traveling with the team on the whole circus trip. He's been moving around in practice. He's been shooting jumpers. He looks like he's doing enough to be able to, it seems reasonable to think there's a chance he'll be back within the next couple weeks or so. But then, besides that, Jaren Grant has looked pretty good when he's gotten in. And Denzel Valentine, I thought, was really impressive. He didn't play very much. He played, I think, 18 minutes in the game against the Lakers the other night. But he has looked more comfortable out there. That was his first time really playing outside of just garbage time or just spot minutes in the first quarter. He had a couple of threes. He had 8 points. He looked like he was comfortable out there. So I think if the Bulls have any more issues with injuries or guys missing time, I think Denzel is a guy that they're going to be comfortable throwing out there.
Yeah, and that's kind of the subtext to all this, because remember, when Gar Foreman actually kind of came out, and if you read between the lines and picked up on some important things he said last summer, just about what their plan was, it's that he wanted professional veterans like Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo, to teach these young guys some winning habits while seeing what they had in the young guys and how much improvement they could make if they were key parts of the future. And like you said, I mean, Jaren Grant and Denzel Valentine have been pressed here the last couple of games. So that's something else to be hopeful for if you're a Bulls fan, is that it seems like these younger guys are making a little bit of progress. Now, hovering over that is Nico and Doug aren't as consistent night to night as you like. Before we get out of here, I do want to mention that Doug McDermott won't play against the Nuggets. I believe he's not expected to play Friday against Philadelphia 76ers. Ruled out of that one too.
Has he been officially ruled out of that one? I know he's been ruled out for tonight, but I think they haven't officially, at least last time I saw, they haven't officially ruled him out.
Our great pal Nick Friedel of ESPN.com strongly suggested that he won't be playing Friday.
No, I agree. I would be shocked, but I just don't know if he's officially been ruled out. But yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, yeah, I would be shocked if he played it before.
So that concussion still a serious problem for Doug, as we kind of expected upon seeing that scary landing back several weeks ago on that Saturday night at the United Center. So all in all, though, good start for the Bulls, 9-5, and feeling good. We will try to keep you as updated as possible here on the podcast. We'll be taking a few days break for Thanksgiving. We hope you enjoy it tremendously with your family. You should definitely try to eat too much food, all that good stuff. And we'll probably drop our next episode maybe Sunday, Monday next week, something like that.
Yeah, as you can obviously tell, we're recording this on Skype. I'm still in Portland right now. So I'm gonna get back to Chicago on Tuesday the 29th. So we'll definitely have an in-person episode that day, and then obviously we'll kind of, since the Bulls have a lot more home games in December than they did in November, we'll kind of get back to our regular schedule of doing more of them in person. So there's not gonna be as many episodes where it's me and somebody else because I'm on the road, or it's us over Skype because I'm on the road. So you know, for those of you who like me and Cody together, it's gonna be a lot more of that. For those of you who don't like that, for those of you who like some of the guests that we've had, sorry about it.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what the people want, we'll continue to work as many guests in as we can as well. But as always, you can follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Bulls. Follow Sean, at Hyken. Follow myself, at Cody Westerlund. We have a Locked On Bulls Facebook page. Follow everyone else in the Locked On Podcast Network. Got a great Locked On NBA, Locked On NBA Fantasy show. Everyone else does a great job.
NFL
as
teams
well.
Also. Locked Certainly. On Bears with Arthur Arkush. The Bears are the Bears are awful, but he's still been consistently giving you the, you know, what you need to know on a day-to-day basis about the Bears.
That's terrific. And most of all, as always, please subscribe to our podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes. Make sure you go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and tell us how much you love us. And then you can also find us on Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Thanks for listening.
With the holidays around the corner, now's your chance to save time and money at Safeway's Stock Up Sale. Plus, earn 4x gas reward points on participating items. Look for tags on items like Honey Nut Cheerios. Select varieties are 4 for $8 with your club card. And select varieties of Betty Crocker Cake Mix, Brownie Mix, or Frosting are 10 for $10 with your club card. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to Safeway.com.